Welcome to The Jump.
So James Harden turned down a 2-year, $105 million extension last night and then posted this cryptic video of a bottle cap. So Perk, is this in fact him saying that that's capping, no capping? I think you may have to explain to some people in the audience what capping is. What do you think?
That's all cap. Look, all he was doing was advertising for body armor. You know James is partly invested in
that. That is not all he was doing, Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, that's all cap.
That's all cap. Man, that's a tough turn down, man. $50 million, highest single season contract. Oh, man. I don't know.
When you can walk away from $50 million, that means you have reached a point in your life that, frankly, gentlemen, I will never reach. So that's it. Somebody wants to pay me $105 million over 2 years, I'm there. I'm just pointing that out to the Houston Rockets. Welcome, guys, to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside Finals MVP Paul Pierce and NBA champ Kendrick Perkins, our Boston teammates here. We are just a day away, gentlemen, from the draft. We are going to be joined by Wolves President of Basketball Operations, Gershon Rosas, who's going to make the first overall selection, and the guy who could be his number one overall pick, LaMelo Ball, is going to join The Jump too, so stick with us for that. We're also going to talk more about Harden's future in Houston after he turned down that extension we were just talking about, because he is reportedly eyeing reuniting with KD in Brooklyn. So a lot to get into, but first, we're going to kick things off with the new look Milwaukee Bucks. They made two huge trades last night. Well, I don't know, half the country, third of the country, people went to bed early, were asleep. Woj reports the Bucks have reached an agreement to acquire both Drew Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic. Milwaukee is going to send Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and three first-round picks to the Pelicans for Holiday. The deal also includes a couple of pick swaps. In addition, the Bucks reaching an agreement in principle with Sacramento on a sign-and-trade that will bring Bogdanovic and Justin James to the Bucks, with the Kings receiving Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Irsan Ilyasova. So, Perk, a lot of their depth now as a team has been traded away, and they traded away some of their future. Do you think the Bucks gave up too much in these trades, or it's what they had to do?
No, they're doing exactly what they have to do. Listen, Rachel. The Bucks are winning, and they are winning big right now. Getting Drew Holiday was a must for them, and it should have been a breath of fresh air for Giannis. Drew Holiday is one of the most underrated players in today's game, one of the best two-way players in today's game, a guy that can give you 20 to 25 one end and lock up your best guard or wing person on the other end. And by the way, he's a closer. Now Chris Middleton could go to that third option, which he is, and let Drew Holiday be that second guy, that Robin. And then you get Bogdanovic from Sacramento. Listen, this kid is a bucket. So right now I'm looking at this Milwaukee Bucks team, and they are winning. And they have the best starting five in the NBA right now, period.
Oh, really, Kendrick Perkins?
Solid. It's solid. But when you got an MVP caliber, but a two-time MVP player on your team, you can never do too much to try to appease him. And adding Drew and Bogdanovic is exactly what the doctor ordered in order to try to maintain keeping Giannis for years to come. He said, we asked him, is he going to sign an extension? And he said, hold up. Let me see what management is going to do. And I think they proved their point that they want to get better. They're going to continue to try to get better as long as they have an MVP player in his prime. And this is what it takes when you do make moves like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Drew Holiday move. Not only is he all those things you guys both mentioned, he's such a high character guy. He's so good in locker rooms. All of his teammates have loved him. Whoever has played with him, that matters when you're trying to win a title. And Bogdanovic, man, no fear, right? That guy will shoot at any time. A championship kind of environment, NBA finals, conference finals are not going to be too much for him. I'm fine with them giving up a lot because of the way it could possibly activate Giannis Antetokounmpo and that supermax for them. But Paul, do you think that by giving up this much of their future, they already have the wink and nod from Giannis that he is going to sign as long as they made these moves? Do you think they have some understanding with him, or that it's just on spec and they will come back to him now and say, okay, we did it. What do you think?
Well, you know, when you have a player that holds the weight of your franchise, I mean, there's a lot of conversations that's been made. Of course, even in doing this deal, they talked to Giannis and asked him what he thought. And so when they make this deal, maybe they do have something on the table like say, hey, Giannis, this is what we can do to get better. We have this extension on the table. You're going to see we're going to continue each and every year. If it doesn't work out this year, we're going to do something else to get better. And so I kind of figured that they probably have something on their table to say, hey, he's saying that, like, look, I'm going to sign here long term because you guys have really showed me. I mean, this was a great move for them. I mean, not only did they get two consistent players that they've been lacking, the guys that make plays at the end of the games. That's the thing I worried about most for the Milwaukee Bucks. End of the game, who was going to close? You know, a lot of people say Giannis was that Pippen. You know, he doesn't have the consistent jumper to be that threat end of the games. But now you got two guys with Drew and Bogdanovich that can help him in that department.
So, Perk, you said you think this is the best starting five in the league.
I don't know about best starting five, but they're up there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at it, you got Drew Holiday starting at the point. You got Giannis starting at the four. You're going to probably put Bogdanovich at the two, Chris Middleton at the three, and you still have Brook Lopez to anchor your defense and to stretch the floor.
The guy that opens up the lane. Right now in the NBA is LeBron and AD and any other three. That's the best starting five right now, so don't discredit champs and the players. They can put me, you, and Rachel on the Lakers, and that'll be the best starting five in the league. Come on now. You're giving them too much credit. Let's see them on the court.
I can't believe that Paul Pierce is actually praising LeBron James and giving them props today.
They the champs. Come on, they the champs.
That's cool, though, P. But what I'm saying is right now in the free agency, the Milwaukee Bucks have built the team, and if you put this starting five compared to any starting five in the NBA right now, they have the better starting five. Name me a better starting five than this Milwaukee Bucks. You gave me two players.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
That's all you need. You can fill in the rest. It don't matter who they are. That's the best starting five.
Well, let me narrow it down to the Eastern Conference, guys, because, of course, this is where this team is going to compete in. You look at what's going on in Boston. You look at what's going on with the Nets. Whether they get James Harden or not, they've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. How good do you think the Bucks are now? Are they just an Eastern Conference Finals team? When you look at the other teams around, do you think they're an NBA Finals team or a championship team? Where are you on that?
Well, for me, they're a 60-win team, and that's what they've been the last couple years. But they still got more to prove. Giannis has to be that guy. He's been an MVP, yes. But he has to prove to me that he can close these games out. You know, he got some help now. And, you know, something about the Bucks, when they get into the playoffs, they're great regular season. But then something about them, they get their heart taken in the playoffs. And, you know, it's hard for me to give them that right now.
Yeah, but, P, that's why they went out and got Drew Holiday. Just like they have playoff Rondo, Drew Holiday elevates his game just like Rondo in the playoffs, and his number shows that. That's why they went and got Drew Holiday, because he is a closer. Bogdanovich, well, I watched him for the Sacramento Kings where it was multiple times he took over games. So they have those pieces, and we watched Chris Middleton take over against that Miami series. Although they lost, he had some big performances when Giannis went out. So I'm looking at it. They added the pieces that they need where they don't have to depend on Giannis late in the fourth quarter, Paul, for him to close out the game because they got two guys.
You talk about playoff experience. Listen, Drew Holiday's only been to the playoffs twice, and I believe in the last 5-6 years. Bogdanovich has never been in the playoffs. Neither one of these guys have made a deep run in the playoffs. So don't compare these guys when you talk about playoff Rondo to a guy who with championship pedigree,
but
to guys who don't have a lot of playoff experience. They're good, but when playoff basketball come, I don't know yet. But that's why I can't give it to him.
But Pete, that don't mean nothing. We just watched Jamal Murray tad up, and this was his only second time being in the playoffs, so that don't mean nothing. Some guys are just built for the moment.
All right, we'll see then.
Well, let's talk about the other component of a team that might be We got time, guys. The season's coming up quick, but not that quick. We can talk about this every day because we're going to talk about what else is going on in the East. Woj also reports that not only has James Harden turned down that 2-year, $105 million extension, that sources tell Woj Harden's conversations with KD and Kyrie Irving have ramped up. Harden has made it clear to ownership he is singularly focused on a trade to the Nets. Houston and Brooklyn have been in contact, but according to Woj, no meaningful dialogue yet. Kirk, first off, what do you think about James turning down $50 million a year and then possibly going to join the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, first of all, Rachel, him turning down two-year, $100 million, like those old people used to say, God bless his heart, because it couldn't have been me, not $50 million a year. But here's the thing. James wanting to go to the Nets, I'm all in for it, right? I mean, he's done more than enough for the Rockets organization. But here's the thing. Tillman Fertitta and the organization, they're not just about to give James Harden up. And matter of fact, they're not giving him up unless they could get back an MVP caliber player or somewhat close to it, like a Kyrie Irving. So, you know, we're hearing the rumors about Spencer Dinwiddie and maybe Caris LeVert, but the Rockets don't want that. They are not giving it up, because what's going to happen is, if you give up a guy like James Harden, it's basically suicidal for your organization, and you're going to set yourself back 5 to 7 years. So they have to be very careful and take their time, especially when they're trying to move James Harden that has done so much for this franchise.
Well, Perk, when you trade a James Harden, that's what you're trying to do, is set yourself back 6 or 7 years, because you want to accumulate assets with young players and draft picks and get into a rebuild mode. And so you don't see MVP caliber players getting traded for other MVP caliber players. So when you trade James Harden, you're saying, we're done. You know, this ship has sunk. It's time to go in a new direction. It's time to rebuild. And so it's time for us to gather assets and some talent for the future. And that's what this trade is all about. I mean, you're not going to get Kyrie Irving for James Harden. That's just not going to happen. You know, you're trying to put those guys together if you're the Brooklyn Nets. And that's why they've had open dialogue between them three guys. And so Houston is saying, look, we got a whole new coach. We got a whole new general manager. Westbrook's not happy. He wants out. Harden is not happy. He wants out. And so now it's time to go into a rebuild with a new young coach and go in a different direction.
But, P, that's how you feel. But that's not how Tillman Fertitta in the front office of the Houston Rockets feel. They don't want to go through a rebuilding stage. That's why they acquired Trevor Ariza last night, because him and James Harden are good buddies. And when Trevor Ariza was here, he was the heart and soul of the team. Hopefully that he could persuade James to change his mind to stay as a Rocket. You got to read between the lines, P. It's right here in front of your face.
Hey, listen, it ain't going to be a reason trying to convince him to stay, because if $50 million didn't convince him, then nobody can.
Hey, Rachel, you know what's happening
Houston...
now? You know what's happening right now between me and Paul to start the show? This is me and him arguing in the locker room
every
back
day
in our Boston days. And you know what? We'll finish this
later. I am aware. Absolutely. And look, reporting has been out from Woj and all of the people at our place who have been working on this story that the Houston Rockets do want to try to salvage this relationship with James Harden, that if that can work, that would be a good thing for them, not force them into a position they don't want to be in. That being said, if they do feel they need to trade him, and he does still have 2 years left on his contract, so it'll be interesting if they feel like the pressure from him is enough. But if they do feel they need to trade him, our friend Bill Simmons likes to say, when you're trading a player of that caliber, you're giving up a dollar, but you're only getting four quarters back. You are not getting that elite equivalent player, as Paul says. You're not really trading MVP, former MVP. Could you possibly be trading big pieces, and could they get some of the draft picks back that they gave up in the Russell Westbrook trade if they make a trade for James, get some good quality players, and then also get some more of their future back? We will have to see about that. But it's going to be interesting. Just buckle up, guys, because it's going to be a week here in the NBA, as we have already seen. All right, coming up on the show, we have Gershon Rosas, the Minnesota Timberwolves GM. He is going to be giving us some insight into what he expects to happen with that number one pick. Who's he taking? We're going to ask him just flat out. Stay tuned on The Jump.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Karl-Anthony Towns from the University of Kentucky.
All right, so that was the past with the number one overall pick going to Minnesota, and I am now thrilled to be joined by the president of basketball operations for the Timberwolves, Gershon Rosas. Thank you so much for coming on The Jump on the eve of the 2020 draft. I know what a busy day it is. We appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure, Rachel. It's great to be here. Being a scout at heart, tomorrow's like Christmas, so we're excited.
All right, well, I'm just going to come out and ask you, because I really think the place you should break this news is on The Jump, Gershon. Who are you drafting number one overall tomorrow night? You can tell us.
Last time I checked, I think we're cued to select at 8:05 Eastern tomorrow. So I think we'll continue our due diligence in our process till then. But I appreciate the opportunity.
Never make a decision before you are forced to make a decision, because new things could come into play. We will be watching you at 8:05 for sure. In terms of your thinking for that, what is more important to you in determining who your team should draft? Is it taking the most talented player available or addressing a specific need?
Absolutely. It's the highest level talent that you can acquire. For us, this is not a decision for one night. This is a multi-year decision, and we want to make sure that we have not only the best player, but the best person with the most upside. And that takes a lot of diligence. That takes a lot of time. We've been fortunate through this pandemic that we've had more than enough time to prepare for this decision, but we're always there reaching for the highest level of talent that you can be. But at the same time, we always preach it's a process. It's not just about picking, right? It's about selecting the player, bringing them into your organization, developing them and giving them all the resources to be successful. And then it's on the player as well to take the steps forward to have success.
I love that point, right? Because a draft pick in one franchise's hands can be different from a draft pick in another franchise's hands. It's what you do with that pick once you get him. And it sounds like you guys are ready to go on that front. Now, when you talk about taking the best player available overall because you've got a long-term future in Minnesota, even if it's a player that is redundant with your star player, is that something that you are taking into account? Because, of course, we see that with the top of the draft prospects here.
It's a great question, and it's why we're really blessed to have a couple of young parts of our core in Karl-Anthony Towns, who is one of the most skilled big, maybe the best shooting big in the NBA, and a guy that you can play inside and out. So his versatility allows us to add another big at that spot, especially if it's a guy that can complement him with athleticism and a guy that could be more of a defender, more of a runner and roller. And then with D'Angelo at the one, his ability, his skill set, and his success. He's a guy that had a lot of success in Brooklyn playing through with other ball handlers. He had an all-star season playing with other point guards there. So the versatility for us at one and five really leaves all the options open for us. And for us, as I said earlier, it's just the pursuit of finding the most talented player that we could add to the organization and continue to build forward with.
So that means really what I'm hearing from you is if James Wiseman turns out to be number one overall on your board because you guys just happen to think he's the best player, you wouldn't be afraid of drafting him with Cat already there?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the current NBA champion, and they did pretty good with two bigs in their lineup.
That is certainly true. You know, there's been a lot of trade talk surrounding this draft as well, especially with the teams in the top five. How tempted are you to deal that first pick?
We're very open. We're having open conversations now. It's why we want to use every minute at our disposal. In terms of the draft, our boards are set. Now it's just a matter of scenarios and conversations leading up to 8:05 when we make that selection or when we trade the pick.
All right, open for business. I do want to ask you about a guy on your team already. I mentioned Karl-Anthony Towns briefly, but boy, what a rough year 2020 has been for him, predominantly because of the loss of his wonderful, incredible mother, Jackie. What are your expectations for him? What have your conversations been like with him this offseason? What do you think about working with Karl-Anthony Towns after all he has done and gone through in this past year?
Yeah, it's been a trying offseason for him and for the organization, and the things that he's gone through, you don't wish on anybody. But I really believe it speaks to his character and who he is as an individual. We've stayed in touch with him throughout this whole process and all the different ordeals. But he's such a special human being. He's got such a great heart. He's a giving person. But he's passionate about basketball. And I really feel like basketball is going to be a sanctuary for him. He's working hard. He's motivated. He's really focused on coming in. And you got to understand, we feel as an organization, we've got a lot of upside. We only had one game last year where we had D'Angelo and Carl playing together. So we're excited about those guys having a full training camp, having an opportunity to play together the whole season. And that's something that our organization and our fans are really excited about. And then you add potentially a number one pick to that mix. And we feel like we're building something special here.
I'm excited to see you and Carl continue to work together. He, like you, is one of the few Latinx faces in the league. How special is that to get to be for you as well?
It's very special. And, you know, to tie all the loose ends, Jackie, his mother, we often had conversations. I have a responsibility to make sure that his Spanish is as fluent as possible. It's something that she was very passionate about. So it's something that we kid him about. But we've got Pablo Prigioni, another Argentinian here. We've got a mission to convert the Timberwolves to Spanish speakers, one at a time.
I love it. I have no doubt that that mission will be fulfilled as you go player after player. Now, I don't know how D'Angelo Russell's Spanish is. How is his basketball? What have you been working on with him through the shutdown?
Rach, you know, with D'Angelo, it's like he's home, and he gives us a different perspective, having been in different places, having had different success. We obviously pursued him in free agency. We were able to acquire him in a trade, but this is where he was supposed to be, and we're fortunate he's here, and he's excited he's here, but the passion, the drive, the motivation for him, and he said it, to finally unpack his bags and to be part of an organization that's really going to wrap their arms around him is something that's special for him and special for us. But he's been one of our leaders in terms of working out and in preparation for this upcoming season.
Well, we can't wait to see it all come together on the court. Gershon, thank you so much. Good luck to Los Lobos and for all the other teams around. Apparently, you heard it here, 8:04 and 45 seconds. He's open for any trade discussions after that. 8:05, he's making the pick. Gershon, thank you so much.
Absolutely, Rachel. Thank you very much.
Coming up, we're going to be joined by one of the top prospects in this NBA draft, LaMelo Ball. Stick around. And now we are joined by one of the top prospects in this year's draft, LaMelo Ball. Always so nice to have you back on the show. How crazy has this last week been for you?
I mean, it's definitely been crazy, but honestly, it feels like every other day, just leading up to the draft.
Well, we were talking off camera, you are more prepared for a crazy circus of a life than anyone else in this draft. And Look, this whole process has been unconventional. How has the pandemic impacted your preparation for what is going to be the biggest night of your life so far?
Right. Definitely had a lot of time to be in the gym and definitely had time to spend with my family and just be working out. So in that aspect, it was nice to have, I'm not going to lie. But everything that's going on with the world, not really.
That's for sure. And you've played basketball all over the world. Now that you're going to be back playing in America, do you have a specific team you would like to play for?
Honestly, don't have a specific team. I'm actually just very happy to be back in the States. Man, it feels like I've been gone for a minute. Definitely could play in front of my fellow people now in the States. So this is going to be nice.
For sure. What did you learn by being out in the world and away from home for all that time?
I definitely learned a lot. I mean, everywhere I went, I feel like it was a different living situation, a different aspect of life, just stuff that you can bring in and just help you as a person. So I definitely feel like everything helped me.
Well, that experience is going to play because you are going to have to go from being drafted right into training camp in just a few weeks.
Right.
Now, your brother, Alonzo, I don't have to tell you this. He went second overall back in the 2017 draft. Do you talk about the possibility with him that you might go higher than he did? Are there friendly wagers on this between you two? Because I know how brothers are with each other, LaMelo.
Right. I mean, the most we ever do about it is probably just our jersey numbers. Say he's pick number two, and he wear number two, and I wear number one. So I was pick one. That's pretty much the only combos we had like that, though. Other than that, not really too much. Just us trying to get better every day.
What kind of advice is Lonzo giving you?
I mean, we give each other advice and just help each other grow, so as brothers should. So that's pretty much that.
Well, he's certainly seen a lot, too, in his young NBA career, so I'm sure those are good conversations. You've also played against and with some veteran guys. One of the guys you faced in Australia's NBL last year was former number one overall pick Andrew Bogut. Very complimentary of your game when asked about you on Sports Talk Radio in the Bay Area. Here's what he said, quote, He is an elite passer already. There's no doubt in my mind he's an elite passer. His basketball IQ from a playmaking position of running the point, pick and rolls, that's where he excels. In my opinion, he's already elite at that. LaMelo, you're not even in the NBA yet. So what is your reaction to hearing a former number one pick and, by the way, NBA champ say that he thinks you are already in the elite bracket in the NBA in those huge skills?
For sure. Yeah, that's respect to my man. And thank you for real.
I mean, that's that. Where do you think you fit in those areas in playmaking and passing?
I feel like I fit in at the top. I mean, I'm very confident in my game. So, yeah, I definitely, anything I do, I feel good about it.
Like the confidence. You know, over the years, we've seen some pretty incredible outfits at the draft. Now, this is going to be virtual, so you could wear like a bathing suit on the bottom half maybe if you want. I don't know if you're planning a walk-in, but on top, you got to look fresh. So do you have anything special planned for your wardrobe on draft night?
Yeah, I got a little YSL design suit. So, yeah, I should be nice.
I heard a rumor about some gold in this look for you.
Definitely. Got to have some gold. You feel me? They called me the golden child growing up, so just got to have some gold.
And there we go. Well, we can't wait to see what happens to you tomorrow night, LaMelo. I know whatever it is, whichever city and team they go to, you are going to hit the ground running. Congratulations on getting to this point, and best of luck in the draft.
For sure. Thank you, Mel. Have a good day.
Thanks so much. Coming up, one of our favorite games is back. It's an NBA draft edition of Jump Ball. We'll be right back. Keep it locked. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm joined by Paul Pierce, Perk. ESPN draft analyst Mike Schmitz is joining us. Very special edition, gentlemen, of Jump Ball, NBA draft edition. So I want to jump up right from the start, toss up the first jump ball. Mike, which player has the higher ceiling, Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman?
It's Anthony Edwards, and every NBA team is looking for a three-level scorer like this, a guy who at 6'5 can pull up from anywhere on the floor, can get downhill, can get to the free throw line, and can be a late-game scorer and really a franchise player. I think he has a chance to be one of the best scorers in the entire NBA someday, and he has the tools to be a two-way player, 6'5", 230 pounds, 6'10 wingspan.
Hey, guess what? You are speaking the gospel because Anthony Edwards is a stud. He's a level four scorer, and he's an NBA scorer. He's NBA ready right now. To me, he has the athleticism of a Russell Westbrook, and he, right now he's a poor man's James Harden, but he can get a bucket in a variety of ways. He has the step back. He has the ball on the string with a step back three-pointer in order to create to get separation on his shot. And by the way, if he get downhill, watch out. He'll dunk on you either off of 2 feet or one leg. So I'm looking at Anthony Edwards, and the sky's the limit for the kid. In a few years, he might be averaging 30-plus a game.
Yeah, I think we have a consensus on that. I'm always going to be in favor of a perimeter guy, especially one with this guy's talent. I mean, when you ask him, who does he want to be like? Who does he model this game after? He said Dwayne Wade, one of the all-time great players we've ever seen. And so in order to win a championship, you need elite perimeter players. I mean, I don't care how good Wiseman becomes. If you look around the league, Karl Anthony Towns, number one pick. Embiid, you know, number one pick. DeAndre Ayton. But you need that perimeter guy, that elite perimeter guy to take you to that next level to win a championship. No matter how good your big is, you need that guy. And as a coach, as a GM, that's what I'm out searching for. And a guy who could potentially be that guy. So, you know, I know Wiseman, he probably will be a great player one day, but I got to go with Edwards.
Well, I do want to look at our NBA projections from ESPN Stats and Info. So according to ESPN Analytics, Anthony Edwards has a 41% chance to become an NBA All-Star, which is highest among all draft prospects for this year. Edwards has a 38% chance to max out as a starter at the highest level. So, Schmitz, does that seem right to you?
I think it's likely just because of Edwards' star power that he already has. And Paul mentioned it. Perimeter players like that, that's what you need to win an NBA championship. Like, how badly could the Milwaukee Bucks have used a guy like Anthony Edwards, somebody who late clock can go get you a bucket? And I think he can play kind of a Donovan Mitchell style of role. I agree with Perk in terms of the scoring instincts, the way he moves at 6'5". There's a little bit of James Harden there. Not to knock James Wiseman. I think he's going to be really good as a rim runner, lob catcher, a defender, a guy who can, you know, really block shots at the rim. But if you're not a Bam Adebayo type, someone who can really handle and playmake, or a Nikola Jokic, someone who's really, really skilled. I think it's easy to find bigs who can run and jump and block and dunk for pretty cheap on the free agent market.
Well, James Wiseman certainly sounds like a good fit for the Golden State Warriors if he ends up there. They're good on perimeter players. They've got some decent guys playing on the perimeter, so they could use a James Wiseman there to add on to that roster. We'll have to see if that's where he goes. Next, Mike, which player do you think is the biggest risk in this draft? And we're just going to narrow it down to those top five guys, LaMelo Ball or Denny Avdia?
Well, I'm going to go with LaMelo Ball here with a caveat, because he's my number one prospect in this draft. I love his star power, his talent, his ability to make everyone around him better. He's the best passer in the draft, and he has a star quality about him that's really hard to find. But this is a guy you got to hand the keys to. He can't really just fit in on any team. You have to really turn things over to him, build around him, and that's why I think Avdija has a little bit of a higher floor. Again, Ball is in a different stratosphere as a prospect, but Avdija is a guy who's coming to the NBA with over 100 games of pro experience. He was the youngest Israeli League MVP in the history of that league at 19 years old. So at the very least, I think he's going to be an NBA starter. 6'10", 225 pounds. He can make an open shot. He's got a high basketball IQ. Whereas LaMelo is a little bit more of a risk, because if he doesn't hit as your main guy, then how does he kind of fit in?
Right.
Well, I have to disagree with you on this one, because LaMelo Ball is everything to me. 6'7", point guard, a big guard, got dimes, could pull up from deep. Oh, it was relentless, and he's made for the bright lights. Denny is good, but he reminds me a lot of Gallinari, and I don't know if he's going to come in and have an immediate impact on the game. LaMelo Ball is. This kid is ready. He also played overseas. So you're right. The team that he goes to turn over the keys to him, and they will, and he's going to be ready for time all day long. LaMelo Ball is that guy.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Perk. I think Denny is the bigger risk, because when you look at, I think most of, on the most part, a lot of European players are bigger risk, because when you look at the stats, they don't just blow you away outside, you know, like Luka did. Yeah, but that's a rare occasion. These guys come over based on their talent. You know, you see he averages 12, 7, and you're like, okay, the potential is there, and there's always a risk. And I've seen many European players come over and didn't make the transition to the league, you know, like we saw with Rubio. He's a solid player, but he was pegged as a superstar. And so I'm going to say he's the bigger risk. I like what I've been seeing, the development of LaMelo Ball, and I think you have to take a chance on him.
All right, so let's go a little bit further down the board. Mike, last jump ball here. Which player do you think has more upside if we match up Obi Toppin or Onyeka Okongwu?
I think it's Onyeka Okongwu, and that's because he has a chance to be a two-way player. You know, Obi is a great offensive player. He can really rim run, he can lob catch, he can space you to three. He's really good out of handoffs. But Okongwu, 2.5 years older, and he's already the best defender in this draft on the interior. He can switch every ball screen. He puts a lid on the rim defensively. He's really good in those drop situations. And offensively, he's just scratching the surface. I think this is a guy who's going to be a lob threat right off the bat, and then also might be able to step out and space the floor a little bit. So when you look at the age discrepancy, you look at the fact that Okongwu is going to be a two-way player compared to Obi, who's really, really good on offense, but he has some major concerns on the defensive end of the floor. And if he's a one-way guy, then I think that kind of limits his upside.
Have anybody else besides me been watching Dayton basketball? Because Obi Toppin is special. Every time I watch this kid, he's must-see TV. This young man has a really bright future. He's super athletic. He's a lob threat to the rim, is what you need in the big. And I also peeked that he could step out and shoot the mid-range. He could shoot the three ball a little bit. He got a very high IQ. And look, defensively, he could get better. With the right coaches, with the right system, the organization, they could teach him defensive assignments. With his athleticism, I'm not worried at all about his defense.
Yeah, I like Obi also. And like you said, he got great athleticism. And he has all the tools that you need to be a great defender. He's already there offensively. We know what he can do. But the tools are there with his athleticism. He can turn into an elite shot blocker. You know, a guy who you could put in a pick and roll, who could switch out on smaller guards and stay with him. And so I like his upside moving forward. And I know he'll be a higher pick. But I really like what I've seen from Obi this year.
And we had Obi Toppin on the jump, and he was smart and really just great synthesis of basketball issues and what was going on in the league. So I'm sure he's been impressive in interviews as well. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you later on the Jumps special tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. We're going to have a little Jump draft extravaganza for you. So we'll check you out there. And coming up on this show, two big trades in the West to talk about: CP3 to the Suns, Robert Covington to the Blazers. Could really shake up the conference next season. We will discuss which team is more dangerous with their new roster. Keep it locked right here. All right, guys, the Rockets are finalizing a trade to send Robert Covington to Portland for Trevor Ariza, a 2020 first-round pick and a 2021 protected first-round pick. Since leaving the Rockets in 2018, Ariza has been to Phoenix, then the nation's capital with the Wizards, then up to Sacramento, then further up northwest to Portland, and now he's headed back to Houston. Paul, is Ariza tired of moving at this point?
I mean, I would, but he's been to some pretty good cities. Ariza's well-respected around the league as a veteran. He's won a championship in this league, and every team wants a player like Ariza.
All right, I want to check out today's Keys to Success, brought to you by Kia. We saw a couple of teams in the West make some noise yesterday. It wasn't just the Blazers, it was also the Suns acquiring Chris Paul. So on paper, both teams appear to have improved their rosters. As we look at the projected lineups, Perk, which team is more dangerous, the Suns or Blazers?
Well, look, both of them are in a great position. I have the Phoenix Suns finishing top five, but guess what, Rachel? I got the Portland Trail Blazers finishing second or third. When you look at that Portland Trail Blazers team, Damian Lillard is the best point guard in the league. C.J. McCollum is one of the top shooting guards in the league. And you add Robinson Covington alongside Big Nurkic, who is a top five center in the league, and you bring back Zach Collins, and hopefully they bring back Melo. I love everything about the Portland Trail Blazers, and I strongly believe that they're going to finish with the second or third seed in the West, possibly the one seed with the roster that they have.
Perk, what you got in your cup this morning, man? I don't know what you're saying, but yeah, Portland is good. And don't forget, there's a guy named Steph Curry coming back next year when we talk about point guards. Now, Damian Lillard is a great point guard, but don't forget about Steph Curry. And I like, you know, everything the Blazers are doing. Yeah, they're going to be a top team. I'm not sure about number one or two because I like what Denver has over there. Utah, they're probably going to get better. We don't know the situation in Houston. So, you know, Phoenix is going to be good, but you got to forget, too, Phoenix. They were a bad team before the bubble, but I like the Blazers. I like the move, and, you know, they'll be a top four or five team if they don't have any injuries.
We shall find out. That's the beauty of the NBA and the season starting so very soon, gentlemen. So very soon. Want to also get in this little piece of news from Zach Lowe. Gordon Hayward and the Celtics are moving when he would have to accept his options.
Some of that,
so
Perk.
Look for possible trade there. We don't know. We'll see you later on the Jump.
Give me what's in your cup, Perk.